This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler, heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. Welcome to the program with a unique focus on helping Canadians avoid probate. The one thing everyone should know about probate is that it's not inevitable. With some planning and good advice, you can avoid the exhausting, expensive, and time-consuming probate process and have your affairs settled quickly and privately. Speaking of good advice, here are your hosts of Avoid Probate.
Good morning, Zoomer listeners. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show. I'm your host this morning with my famous co-host, Ted Walshen. We do this every Sunday morning. Glad you're joining us. Mr. Walshen, how are you today, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. I shouldn't say very well. I'm okay. I've had a bit of a back thing going on, but other than that, I'm fine. The real deal, I wouldn't even normally mention it, but the reason I'm mentioning it is because I know we're going to talk about the roadshow out in the East End yesterday.
West End.
Week. No, sorry,
East End.
Yeah,
East End.
Yeah.
It's my mistake.
Hello. Which I couldn't make, unfortunately, because I twisted my back. So that's why I mentioned it. Other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah, and I should have said when I said I'm the host of the show this morning, I forgot to say my name is Jason Laidler. Excuse me. Welcome to the Avoid Probate Show if you're just joining us. We do this every week, talk about probate and how to avoid the probate nightmare. Ted's right, of course. We just were fresh off of one of our road shows, and we talk about the road show almost every week and encourage listeners to submit their requests for us to attend their group or community or whatever it might be, whatever shape or form it takes, book club, church club, Optimist Club, Lions Hall, whatever, right? There's all kinds, and we're happy to attend, as we just did out in the East End. Yeah, well, I don't know why I thought it was the West End. But what a cool facility, Ted. Have you ever been to West Rouge Community Center?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's why I thought it was the West End, but it's not. It's a really, well, it's an It's an old building. Beautiful old building. It's apparently, because I specifically asked the question when I was there, it's a city property. Now, they tell me, it used to be a farm, of course, like everything else. And then at one time, it was part of a golf course. I think it might have been the clubhouse of a golf course at one point. And the golf course is gone. It's been developed, and now it's a community center. And it's still got lots of character. There's one big room with a balcony around the whole room. You know what I mean? You can. Like a mezzanine around the whole big room, like a ballroom, and two great big stone fireplaces, one at each end of the room. You don't see that stuff anymore. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And a lovely group of people. We will talk about it later in the show.
All right.
Okay. What else is going on?
Well, tomorrow, it marks towards the 20th of November. It's International Children's Day, which was proclaimed back in 1954 by the United Nations. But to me, if you're a kid, every day is kids' Children's Day. But the idea here is to support children's events, children's charities, etc., which reminds me that our friends at the Breakfast with Santa are urging folks to drop by. If you're in Mississauga, drop by a Tim Hortons. They've got these Christmas smile cookies that they sell. And they're all over the place. Every Tim Hortons is doing this, and proceeds go to various charities. And the Breakfast for Santa charity is one of them. I know the Children's Breakfast Club, which is an organization I've been a part of for a while.
Yes.
They also support them. So good on the folks at Tim Hortons. So we thank them for that. Now, coming up this Wednesday, the 22nd, it's, believe it or not, the 60th anniversary of the assassination of JFK. 60 years ago. Wow.
Okay, I have to ask Ted, because I know it's one of those before my time, so I have no recollection, but it's one of those things I say you never forget where you were. So where were you, Ted?
I was in school. I attended Edgeley Public School, which was on Jane Street, just north of Highway 7. It's no longer there. It was a two-room, eighth-grade school. So I guess my mother had called in to the school because she was watching, I think, CBS at the time, because CBS was the only one that went live with it. Everything else was pre-taped. Oh. Back then, it took like 15, 20 minutes for the cameras to warm up, right? So she had seen it on television, and she called in to the principal. Suddenly, everybody was alerted to the fact that there was this incident going on. And the principal,
mom was the one who broke the news to your school principal?
Yeah.
Wow.
She called in, and remember, there's only two teachers. Right. So they're both teaching at the time. And the one who taught seniors, grade four to grade eight, was the principal, Alan Taylor. So she called in and he went up in the hallway, and they had this huge old radio in the hallway. Literally, it was like two feet high by like a foot and a half wide. He went and picked it up and brought it into the classroom, turned on the radio, and we started listening to the coverage of the assassination.
Remind me, who was that? I've seen the clips, the famous anchor. Who
Walter
was?
Cronkite.
That was Walter Cronkite. Okay.
Walter Cronkite.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
The most trusted man in America?
That's right. And then a couple of days later, sitting at home, watching television live as they're transporting Lee Harvey Oswald from one jail, I guess, to another jail, or maybe they were taking him to court, I don't recall. And suddenly, Jack Ruby jumped up from the crowd, pulled out his gun, and went and shot him dead on live television. There's reality TV for you.
Mm-hmm. Old fashioned.
Yeah, so it was quite amazing.
And
to this date, there's still lots of controversies regarding the assassination of JFK. The one gun theory, the multi gun theory, was it done by the Bob? Was it done by the CIA? Was it done by the Russians? Was it done? There are theories all over the place.
Maybe one day there'll be an answer. Who knows?
Well, okay. I think there is an answer. Whether or not we'll find it out is the question.
What's going on the show today, Ted? We got a busy show as usual.
We do. In fact, Debbie Stanley is standing by, and she will join us with solving the probate puzzle. We'll find out exactly how far along down the road she is with that. It's moved along quite nicely, but as I thought it was coming near the end, and last week she informed us that no,
still not over yet.
Still more to do.
It's week 24, Ted. Come on.
Yeah, I know. How silly of me. Well, as you mentioned, we'll talk about the roadshow, and we've got some stuff in the mailbag for you as well. So, as usual, lots of good stuff, and appreciate you being with us. We'll take this moment now to step aside, and then we come back, and there'll be more of the Avoid Probate Show, so don't go away.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
Hi there, this is Jason Laidler from the Avoid Probate Show, and I'm pleased to say I'm having a quick conversation to introduce my friend Paul Portman from Portman Law, who is a regular contributor to the Avoid Probate Show. He's one of the lawyers on the team at avoidprobate.ca. Paul, how are you?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So you're one of the lawyers on the team because you have an expertise in law, specifically in what part?
So I specialize in estate law, litigation, and bear trusts. I do quite a bit of work in that area.
And I'm glad you mentioned bear trust, because we often talk on the Avoid Probate Show about how a bear trust can help avoid the probate on property, correct?
That's right.
And it's widely misunderstood, but it's something that you're able to help our listeners figure out and avoid the probate on their house, cottage, commercial property, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct, yeah.
And how does it work? Like, in a nutshell, the way the bear trust is set up, tell us real quick.
Yeah, so a bear trust, in a lot of ways, is like any other trust agreement. The major difference between a regular trust agreement and a bear trust is that the bear trustee doesn't really have any powers in relation to the trust. They can't really do anything other than what's explicitly in the bear trust agreement. And the bear trust agreement doesn't say anything other than they're holding legal title.
So really, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't create a tax event. It just simply avoids the probate nightmare.
That's correct.
Okay, and if listeners want to contact you directly, I mean, they can always reach you through us at avoidprobate.ca, but if they want to contact you directly, the best way to reach you is what?
They can contact me by email at paul@portmanlaw.ca. That's PORTMANLAW.ca. Or they can contact me by telephone at 647-527-5878.
And it doesn't have to be a bear trust question in particular, any estate question. You can help them out, correct?
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks for being here today. And I know you've been a guest on the show in the past, and hopefully you'll be a guest in the future. And we will continue to work together to help all the listeners at AM 740 Zoomer Radio who have any estate planning questions. They can call Jason Lather or they can call Paul Portman directly.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
And we are back with more of the Avoid Probate Show, and we invite you to join us on our website as well as each week on this radio program. And the website is www.avoidprobate.ca. If you go there, you'll check out a free probate calculator. You can play with it and see roughly how much probate might be payable on your estate or the estate you're dealing with. And there's also a button for anybody who has missed a show or wants to hear a show again. It's the listen to the show button. Press that and you can go back. In the meantime, if you want to contact us via email, it's info@avoidprobate.ca, info@avoidprobate.ca. Toll-free, the number to call is 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. And it is time once again to welcome back for her weekly chapter in this novel we call the Avoid Probate Show, Solving the Probate Puzzle, from ETP Canada, Debbie Stanley. Hello, Debbie. How are you?
I'm well. What an intro that
so
was.
I know. So poetic this week, Ted.
Yeah.
I was wondering how to follow that.
Yep. Just make stuff up like I just did.
No, Debbie doesn't make stuff up. She's a real report on the status of a real file. And I hate to say real time. Well, it's kind of real time, right? Roxy Moo is the fictitious name of a real person who passed away in March, if I'm right, Debbie?
May.
I always get that wrong. May, thank you. And Debbie, in this case, is acting as the professional executor and dealing with the probate stuff. And so every week she's giving us an update on what's happening with the probate progress. Say that 10 times fast. What's going on lately with probate, Debbie?
Well, we have received probate, and we received that when I came back from my trip back in September, which allowed me to sell and close the condo, which we did do, and the proceeds have been deposited into the estate bank account. It also allowed me to reach out to the investment institutions for the registered accounts that did not have named beneficiaries, non-registered accounts that didn't have named beneficiaries.
You got me all excited there for a second.
Yes. My apologies. I got tripped up on my own words there. And we also reached out to that online financial institution so that we could start closing down that particular account. Now, the funny thing is, I don't know if listeners might remember, but Ted, you and Jason will remember that in the Mr. Chip's file, I had a heck of a time with the online bank. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember clearly.
Fax and mail and pigeon courier.
Well, I think if I recall correctly, there are two online banks that you were dealing with.
That's correct, yes. So in this case, we're only dealing with one. And I'm happy to say I had never dealt with this particular online bank, but they had the process so seamless. They just asked for an initial letter, just notifying of the death and who I was. And then they emailed me back from the estates department and said, okay, great. Send us the digital certificate of appointment and a letter of direction saying you would like the funds liquidated and whatever else you need. In this case, I need the monthly bank statements as well. And we will process your request. So I did that on a Friday, and I received on the following Tuesday an email from them saying everything has been done, expect it all in the mail.
Wow. You know, that, I think my take on that, it goes to show you it's a function of personnel, right? It's not really the institution, but the institution is hiring the people they're hiring. But you just never know. You get somebody who knows what they're doing, or they don't know what they're doing, and it can happen on any given day at any given institution.
Yes. And I think that the person I was dealing with, she was using terminology that's specific to this industry. She was using abbreviations. So I had a very pleasant experience. And Jamie from a bank I will not name, if you're listening, thank you for your very professional manner, because that made it very easy.
I was going to say, did you offer Jamie a job, Debbie?
Right. I debated it. Yeah, now, wow. On the flip side, the non-registered investment accounts, I'm having some trouble. So, Jason, I'm sure you're going to chime in here on maybe what we could have done to make that a bit easier.
Well, I mean, this, you set me up nicely for that. Thank you. You know, that's the biggest problem that we're trying to solve at avoidprobate.ca. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, even before the hour's over. You know, with traditional institutions, banks, credit unions, you can, virtual banks as well, to Debbie's point, you cannot put a beneficiary on the non-registered money. And what does that mean? It means it's not a TFSA. It's not an RSP. It's not a RIF. It's not a plan with rules and regulations and limitations and reporting requirements attached to it. It's just the bulk of the money. It's, I guess the best way to describe it is a regular savings account or a regular investment account, but not something that has a label on it, like I said, with rules and regulations. Those accounts are registered accounts, and you can put a beneficiary on them. Doesn't mean you have one. You should double check, because we see it all the time. People say, yeah, of course I got a beneficiary in my TFSA. Then I look at the statement and it says it's payable to the estate. Big mistake. Terrible. Anyway, the non-registered money that Debbie's talking about right now is money you can't put a beneficiary on it unless you let us do the transfer for you to the insurance company, where the rules are different. And now you can put a beneficiary on it. And by doing that, we solve the probate problem.
And this is the investment arm of an insurance company.
Thank you. Yes, we're talking about we're talking about apples to apples. We're not talking about life insurance, even though it's an insurance company. They are competing with the banks for your investment dollars, your assets under management. And we can do that transfer at no charge from whatever bank or virtual bank or credit union, wherever the money is today. We will take care of that transfer for you, move it to the insurance company, reinvest it in a portfolio you're happy with. It's your money. You decide. We help you, of course. And now we can put the kids on and the charity and the cat and whatever you want as a beneficiary. And that's going to avoid the probate. It's that simple.
Can you actually put the cat?
No, I know. I was waiting for you to say that, because Debbie has said it before on the show. I think in the States you can put the cat, but in Canada you really can't.
Yes, right? Animals are considered.
You're testing me in real time.
But can you not leave aside a certain amount of money and say this is to be used to take care of my cat or my cats or my animals, whatever, how many do you happen to have?
Yes. Yes, so you have to leave it to the person for the cat, and you can say this is to be used for the cat or dog or whatnot, but you cannot leave the money to the animal. Now, the risk is you leave the money to that person. They don't necessarily have to spend it on, who's going to know if they spent it on the dog or cat or bird or reptile. So you do really have to trust the person.
There's no reporting requirements for that to the Attorney General's office?
Yeah, maybe I'll create a division for animal trusts.
You know what? I'm shocked that there isn't, that either the provincial or federal government doesn't have a department or a ministry that oversees the treatment of designated funds for animals. Because the government loves to brag about it. Look at how many new jobs there are. Have you ever noticed that 80% of the new jobs that the government says they created are government jobs?
Oh, boy. Let's not go there. Remember, two rules on the Avoid Probate Show, Ted. Remember from day one, no politics and no COVID.
That's not politics.
Yeah.
That's reality.
That's politics. No politics, no COVID. Those are the rules on the Avoid Probate Show. We're here to talk about the ugliness that probate is. And Debbie's giving us an update on Roxy Moo. So what is the problem you're having with the non-registered money, Debbie?
It's more now the communication with the people we've been working with. So you send a document, you don't hear from them for a month, and then you keep poking and saying, where are we at? And then they say, oh, it's the estates department, I'm going to check in. And then you don't hear for another 3 weeks. It's a very, very slow, very painful testing my patience process. And I have a lot of patience.
You do. You have to do the work that you do. Dealing with the government every day.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, you know, these beneficiaries, like you said, could have had their money for this particular account sooner. However, we are here. Yeah. And I think it's important for listeners to see. And like you said, real time, we've been dealing with this since the beginning of May. And I still don't have access to these investment accounts.
Holy smokes. That's amazing. I mean, let's say that again. She's been dealing with this since May. She's the executor. She's the professional executor, and she's still looking for access to the accounts. Imagine, you know, regular Joe Blow citizen who's not versed in this stuff. Anyway, we got to cut it there. We're out of time. Thank you for the update, Debbie. Real quick, how can people reach you if they want more info?
They can reach us at etpcanada.ca or 866-309-0387.
Thank you. We'll do it again next week. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
It's time to gear up for fall with cool weather fashions from the very cool Kensington Market. Hey, it's Ted Wallace in for Tom's Place, where you're invited to check out the latest fall fashions that have just arrived. And since it is Tom's Place, even the new arrivals are on sale. Fall colors, new patterns, fresh designs, designer slim fit suits sold elsewhere for as much as $600 start at only $179 at Tom's Place. Check out Tom's fabulous collection of S. Cohen and other designer suits. Regular, $3 for $1,200, slashed for radio listeners to $1,100. Pick out a couple of sports jackets. Selected sports jackets are now 50% off, plus selected dress and casual pants, 50% off. Play it cool at Tom's Place, 190 Baldwin Street in the heart of Kensington Market. Tom's Place will suit you.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Avoid Probate Show, and we invite you to keep your calls and emails coming with your questions and comments. We try to reply to every one of them. Actually, we do get to them. Some of them take a little bit more time. The address, if you'd like to send an email, is info@avoidprobate.ca. info@avoidprobate.ca. The number to call, toll free, 1-844-667-7628. 1-844-667-7628. And joining us now is Colin Gies, who's a Vice President of Business Development and Customer Service for avoidprobate.ca. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Ted. How you doing?
I'm okay. I missed you guys at the roadshow. I was at the West Rouge Community Center.
It was an awesome event, and you were missed. People asked about it.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, I was incapacitated.
Mm-hmm.
I found it interesting. They refer to themselves as the Mature Adult Day Club.
Yes. Mad. She goes, we're mad, but not the, you know, Mothers Against Drunk Driving mad, the other kind of mad. We just don't want to use the word seniors in their title, which I thought was cute.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But a great show for sure. And so what we're going to do now, Colin and I, we're going to use this opportunity to really do a broad view summary of the main points here, because obviously not all the listeners were at the roadshow. And the questions that come up, and jump in and correct me, Colin, but it's obviously the same questions. We've done many of these roadshows, and we look forward to doing many more for other people's clubs and groups. Like I said, just reach out to us and we'll book one for you. But of course, it's the same questions, and we understand that. But they're important questions, and they're worth reviewing, I think, for the general listenership, right, Colin? That's what we're going to do.
They really are. And it's amazing, actually, how many people just don't even know what probate is, period. Yes. They come to the show, they understand that their community organization is putting this on for them, and they show up. And the misconceptions about probate are lengthy.
Yeah. So let's start there, right, now that you mentioned it, because that's really how I do start the show. Make a few wisecracks to begin with, which I don't do on the radio, but I start with the definition of probate. In my definition, the avoidprobate.ca definition of probate is the public court process that you need to go through before you can begin to settle the estate of a deceased person, emphasis on public. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that before, and how, you know, it should be no surprise to listeners, Canadians in general, every court process is a public process here. We live in a democracy, and that's one of the advantages of the democracy, is the courts are public, including the probate court. And that's why, you know, we've had, it was John Natale, the director of estate tax planning at Manulife, who's in studio, who made the comment that he took the time to get Harold Ballard's will, a copy of Harold Ballard's will and Rob Ford's will. And he wouldn't, even though they're public documents, he was reluctant to share the details of what the contents of these wills are. But anybody can look it up. He just didn't want to be the person to talk about it on the radio, I guess. But his point, you know, and we said, well, why? I think it was Ted, actually, who asked the question, why did you get Harold Ballard's will? And he said, because I can.
Right. And I think when people hear those stories, they think, of course, the rich and famous or celebrities or people that are in the public eye. But there's a lot of reasons for individuals not to want their financial affairs to be out there in anybody's hands, really. And that's a, you know, that can be a very important reason for looking into one of your solutions of using segregated funds, where it is a private transfer of assets from an owner to a beneficiary.
As much as I understand the concept behind it being public, accessible to the public, I don't like that idea, because if I have left $4 million to one of my children,
right,
do I need the world to know that my kids have $4 million?
Exactly.
Right. Good point. And when you're looking at estate equalization and how to do fair isn't always equal.
That's right.
And sometimes you want to make decisions that that you don't want to be scrutinized, either for your reasoning and also for your heirs. You don't want them to be challenged.
Well, and think of the, you know, the modern day blended family and all the complications that come along with that. You maybe you were supposed to leave X number of dollars to this person and you didn't.
Right.
And now they're gonna, like, yeah, of course. So, I mean, what this boils down to is the solution that we provide to avoid the probate mess in the first place is a private solution. Mm-hmm. And for some people, there's a lot of value in that. So, yeah, we're avoiding probate. And at the same time, we're keeping your matters private. And like I said, for some people, that's a big deal.
Yeah, I love it.
I do too. So the other question, I'm going to jump in, Colin. I know you're going to say it anyway. The first question, because it's funny, like I time it. I've got a timer because I'm presenting. I'm on limited time. So I've got a clock in front of me. And inevitably, the first comment/question that comes up is, it's always the same one. And it's with regard to joint accounts, because I'm up there in the front of the room talking about probate and the problems associated with probate. And somebody puts up their hand and says, well, yeah, but if my account's joint, does that not avoid the probate? And I'm like, perfect. Thank you. This is only a matter of time. I was waiting for that question. And then sure enough, you know, so we go into discussing. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So the short answer to the question, listeners, is yes. if it's if you're on the account joint or your adult child or whoever it is joint on the account, that account does not get probated. And so that leads me to the next point, which is the problems, potential problems and pitfalls associated with joint accounts. We've done entire shows on the problems and pitfalls of joint accounts. Can't emphasize them enough, frankly. Don't have time. We could talk about it all day.
Well, you can footnote that and just remind our listeners that you can always find past shows on our website. There's a link to listen to the show, and you can go back and find the specific program on joint ownership, and you can listen to that entire show.
That's right. But right now, I'm going to just summarize the three main problems that I was summarized. I'm going to do it real quick because we are, you know, we only have an hour today. Number one, taxation complications. What do I mean by that? It's pretty straightforward, I think. You're on the account.
I don't think it is. Explain it.
You're on the account, little, you know, junior's on the account with mom. There's income coming into the account. You have to split the tax burden. You can't just let mom cover the taxes because mom makes more than junior does. It doesn't work that way.
Saying if my mom added me to her account because she wants me to be able to use some of the money in that account and get access to it to help her out because she's not comfortable doing the day-to-day financing because dad always did it, but dad's gone now. And that money that is in an account is invested in making a return on it. Because I'm named on it, I should pay, what, 50% of the...
Absolutely. You can't suck and blow at the same time. Either it's half yours or it's not. And if it is half yours or all yours, arguably, you could drain the whole thing if you're a joint owner. But I don't want to go there right now. The point is, there's a tax liability attached to every owner. You are an owner. You're part of the... you're owning the asset. You're owning the income. You're owning the growth. You're owning... the whole thing to some extent. There's a tax liability. And of course, this gets overlooked all the time because people think, well, I'll just let mom pay it. So I get it. We're not talking about like major crimes here, major white collar Ponzi schemes or anything, but it still is what I call inadvertent tax fraud. It's inadvertent, most of the time, inadvertent tax fraud. That's number one. Number two, ownership challenges. What do I mean by ownership challenges? Okay, so Ted, you've got more than one child. You put one child on the account to Colin's point, for the sake of simplicity, to help you pay bills or whatever you need. You pass away. Your son is on the account. He thinks, okay, woohoo, I inherited the rest of the account. Your daughter's like, well, what are you talking about, man? Obviously, dad wanted you to share that. That was his intention, for you to split it between the two of us. He's like, what are you talking about? Dad wanted me to have it. You know, he told me that it's all mine. And now, you know, there's an ownership challenge and it's going to court and it's tied up for 10 years and it's going to cost $100,000 in legal fees. And the kids are never going to speak to each other again. And their kids, you know, will never speak to each other again, et cetera. So ownership challenges. And if you don't think it happens, think about it. It happens every day. I saw a sign the other day, one of those joke sign things that says, where there's a will, there's a relative. So, in other words, you know, money changes people for sure.
It really does. And it's not always just doom and gloom where the whole family breaks down and people aren't speaking to each other, but it does cause stress, doesn't it? Even a little bit of stress in these circumstances can just compound with other things that are added to the list of worry, especially in a time of mourning. And in our culture, for whatever reason, talking about finances between generations doesn't happen. And I think that leads to a lot of mistrust. And as you said, dad may have an arrangement with the child that is on that account. You're helping me out with this. I know you're the... you know, this child is more savvy than the other child and is more trusted and has been providing support. Maybe they just geographically, they live closer to dad and their connection is a bit stronger for whatever reason, and there can be any reason. And there is like this kind of said understanding between that in that relationship that, yeah, when I pass, this money is to go in a certain direction. But if it hasn't been talked about thoroughly with all of the heirs or everybody that's involved, yeah, it can lead to some uncomfortable positions. And do you really want your kid to be shouldering that load on your behalf once you've passed, especially if you haven't had those open conversations with everybody ahead of time?
The third concern I have about the joint accounts, and probably my most serious concern, I call it exposure. So what does that mean? Exposure, right? You put the child on there, or all three of them, even worse, out of fairness, I can't just pick one. I got to put all three of my adult kids on the account. Oh my goodness, talk about exposure. Or on the title of my house, bad idea, generally speaking. Don't do it. Call us before you do that, please. But
right. So this is almost like the polar opposite of having the ownership challenge, is where a parent may say, okay, instead of just naming one child, out of fairness sake, I'm going to put all three of them on the account.
Yeah, well, just asking for trouble. You're setting up for exposure to everybody's creditors, everybody's bad habits, everybody's accidents, lawsuits, everybody's unhappy spouse who may be thinking of leaving the relationship. You know, the money's on the table because you're an owner. You're an owner. You're a part owner of that account. And if your spouse leaves, that money is on the table for
really?
The division of assets. Because you're an owner.
So even if you haven't used any of that money in your own family,
doesn't
like
matter.
Commingling of assets. No, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Your name's on the account. It's you own it. When you go through a separation, you list everything you own. And if you're married, it's relatively simple. I hate to use the word simple because it's never simple, but you know what I mean. It's in theory, it's a 50-50 split down the middle. And you list everything you own. The other person lists everything they own. It's a division of assets for married people, not common law. Common law is a totally different animal. I've said this before, and I get hate mail when I say this sometimes. Common law spouses in Ontario have no property rights. Common law spouses in Ontario have no property rights. So I'm talking about married people. That's a common myth.
So this, I think you've said on a past show, and maybe I'm going too far down a different direction, but is an inheritance that you receive from your parents not considered part of
give a call and you're talking about two different things. We're talking about joint account. Your name's on it today,
right,
versus an inheritance that you receive from mom or dad, which can only you can keep it in your name only. If I inherited $1 million from Ted, thanks Ted by the way for that, then I can leave that in my name only. And it doesn't get commingled, and it doesn't become divisible.
Dad wanted me to have half of that money, Jason.
That's not the same as me being on the account with Ted, and then my spouse leaves, and they can say, you own half of the account with Ted, and we want some of that money's on the table. That's there's the difference. Anyway, that's enough about joint accounts. We're kind of ran a little bit long on that. There were other questions there. I think what we'll do is we'll go to a break. We'll come back and maybe talk about one or two more of those questions that came up, the common questions that come up every time, because I think they're worth reviewing for the listeners today. So let's take a quick break here, and we'll be right back after this.
Learn more about avoiding probate at avoidprobate.ca or call 1-844-667-7628. Back with more Avoid Probate after this.
A diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or dementia for you or someone in your life can be challenging. You don't have to face it alone, especially when help and support are so close at hand. The Alzheimer's Society of Ontario can connect you with experts, education and care, valuable resources, and people who really want to help. Connect with us, the Alzheimer's Society of Ontario, at ourconnectionsmatter.com.
This is Avoid Probate on Zoomer Radio with Jason Laidler of avoidprobate.ca.
Hey, good morning. Once again, this is the Avoid Probate Show, and we remind you the information that we provide for you each and every week in this program is for general consumption only. It's not intended to provide particular legal or investment advice. Every situation is different, so if you have legal or investment questions, you should speak with a licensed expert, and we can find one for you because we have many at our beck and call. And you can contact us with any questions or comments via email. It's info@avoidprobate.ca, info@avoidprobate.ca, or toll free the number 1-844-667-7628. Once again, répétez, 1-844-667-7628. So contact us at your convenience.
I thought you had a little sneeze there, Ted. By that was your French, was it?
Répétez, oui. That's oui. Yeah. That was it. Then that's about it.
Okay. Lots of. Okay, for the French listeners, finish.
Who don't pay probate in Quebec?
That's true. I say every roadshow. We're talking about the roadshow that we just did a few days ago at the West Rouge Community Center, and I talk about the rate. Of course, the rate in Ontario, 1.5% of the total value of the estate on the date of death. It's very important, and I say it's the highest in the country, and it applies not that rate, but probate applies in every province and territory in the country, except Quebec, to Ted's point. So, yeah, before the break, Colin and I were reviewing some of the Q&A because Ted was not able to attend the roadshow. And the other question that comes up frequently, Colin, you'll recall, has to do with, having a will. And inevitably, people think just having the will avoids probate.
But of course, it's funny when we greet people at the door and they come in, they say, oh, this is great. Avoiding probate. I need to update my will, or I already have a will, so I'm not sure if this will apply to me.
Yeah, it is such a misconception. I wish I had a dollar. Listen, listeners, the probate process is the process that validates your will. You wish it was as simple as having a will to avoid the probate nightmare. The province wants their pound of flesh. It is a death tax. Having the will does not get you out of paying the probate fee.
Having a will can avoid other problems.
Sure, of course. It's a good idea. Don't get me wrong. It's a great idea to have a will. You should have a will.
Mm-hmm.
But don't think that that solves your probate problem. It doesn't. The probate process is the process that recognizes your will as being the one that's going to be used to settle your estate. The probate process does two things. It recognizes your will as being legit, and it recognizes the executor as being legit and gives that executor, I call it magical powers. Debbie Stanley jokes about having a magic wand when she's acting as an executor, a professional executor, right? Because the executor, if I'm Ted's executor, I can now sell Ted's assets. I can sell Ted's house. Right now, today, I cannot sell Ted's house because I don't own it. Ted owns it. And even when he passes away, his estate owns it. So how do you sell something that you don't own? You have to get permission from the province. That's what probate does.
And I guess during that process too, the executor has an opportunity to relinquish that responsibility if they don't want.
Renounce is the technical term.
Renounce.
You can renounce. And think about that. You've named... I don't know, your brother, your brother-in-law, your neighbor, your high school buddy, whoever you've named to be an executor. When I'm in a meeting with people doing financial planning stuff, I often ask the question, are you named as an executor for anybody as far as you know? Because people don't tell their executors that they've been selected. So it can be a surprise. And all of a sudden, hey, by the way, Jimmy passed away and he asked you to be the executor. You're like, what? I don't think so. Right.
Yeah.
That you don't think that happens or I'm just too busy or I'm dealing with an illness or all kinds of reasons.
There are all kinds of reasons. And that goes back. To what I was saying before. I don't know why we don't have more transparency in our planning, whether it's estate planning or financial planning with the people that are involved and the relationships involved in that process. I don't understand how people feel like not sharing their wishes is going to help them or anybody in the future. It just leads to more confusion and more problems. And to be honest, I feel like that's one of the services that we offer when we go out and talk to people, is that it gives them a sounding board to start to have these elevated conversations with either parents or children when coming to these decisions. Because obviously people have differing opinions about what's right. Having a professional at the table that can quarterback, for lack of a better term, some of these different ideas and perspectives, whether they're from people or like your accountant will have planning views or visions through a tax perspective. A lawyer will have one through the legal perspective, but that doesn't mean that those isolated channels are the right view to plan anything 100%. So having a financial planner or advisor at the table coordinating those different personalities and perspectives can really help bring a bigger, more fulsome picture to the table that gets people on the same page and where they want to be.
Well said. And that's what we want to do. We are, you know, we are avoidprobate.ca. We're dealing with all aspects of the estate planning process. We have lawyers. I'm not the lawyer. Colin's not the lawyer. Ted's not the lawyer. We have lawyers on the team, of course. We've got Debbie Stanley, who's also not a lawyer. She's a professional executor, which is amazing in itself. And people don't realize that that's a thing. And it can be an alternative to using a lawyer sometimes, and a lot less expensive than using a lawyer sometimes. But I guess I just want to, we'll wrap up the summary of the roadshow because we're going to move on to other things, including the mailbag. But I just want to remind the listeners, you know, at avoidprobate.ca, we are able to avoid probate most of the time. It involves a transfer of investments from the bank to an insurance company where we can put beneficiaries on the non-registered money, which you cannot do at the bank. Yes, that's a true thing. You cannot put a beneficiary on your non-registered account at the bank. Even Colin, you weren't there after the show the other day. Lovely lady came up to me and she says, "But I have beneficiaries on my non-registered money at the bank." And I said, "I don't think you do." And I think, and it just so happened that a few days later, she was already scheduled to meet with her advisor at the bank. I said, "So please check, you know, be very clear, ask the question." And I asked her to call me back and let me know how that meeting went. And so hopefully she does that.
That happens often. I think sometimes, you know, we're all people and not all of us retain the information, especially in when talking about finances, as clearly as we think we have. So maybe, you know, you confuse it. I'm putting a beneficiary on my TFSA or my RSP or RIF, and I've just assumed that I did the same on my non-register, but that is not the case. And it's very important to pay attention to detail.
Very important. Yeah. Let's review it for you. It's a no charge consultation.
Right.
I will come to your place. I will be happy to sit down and spend some time with you to review these documents, you know, in detail and explain the solution to the probate problem, our solution, the transfer, how it works, what it looks like on the other side, how the investment options look like. We'll explain everything. It costs nothing to get this information. It's valuable information. That said, let's switch to the mailbag here real quick, because speaking of valuable information, I had a meeting recently. It was actually right after the roadshow. It was a long day. A lovely couple, common law spouses, long time. It doesn't matter. I'm not trying to be crude when I say that or insensitive, I guess is the better word. I said it before, common law spouses have no property rights. It doesn't matter how long you're together. It matters for other parts of legislation. It matters for...
I was going to say that because I think that it's not misleading, because you're not misleading people at all, but I think people will go, "Wait a minute, what am I come
back?" You're right, Ted. Thank you for...
period of time.
Absolutely. Thank you for clarifying. For tax filing, it matters. For children, it matters. But with property rights, it's different. And I'll just leave it at that. Lovely couple. They have some money. And the main reason for the call was interesting. Most people have an existing advisor. We understand that. And we understand you've got a relationship. The fact is, often your existing advisor can't do what we're doing. And what are we doing? We're avoiding probate. We're moving the money, some of it at least. It doesn't have to be all of it. For example, I mean, Colin mentioned the registered accounts, the TFSA, the RIF, the RSP. Those can have beneficiaries on them, and they can stay put if that's what you want to do. But the non-registered money is usually a problem. That's the problem we're solving. And that's what's happening in this case. And in this case, interestingly, the advisor, the current advisor, was strongly, strongly recommending that this individual move a bunch of money into what's called a five-year laddered GIC. Okay, all the regular listeners know how I feel about GICs. It makes my stomach turn thinking about it. A five-year laddered GIC. So I'm not going to get into the details of what that means right now. If you want to know, give us a call. But anyway, I was like opposed. Obviously, I'm opposed to it. And I'm opposed to it because what most people don't understand or don't realize is that there are better options available at the insurance company. And again, it's a foreign concept. It's a new concept for most people to think about having their investments at the insurance company. Investments, not life insurance. Investments. We can do the investment accounts at the insurance company. They're competing with the banks, and they're competing aggressively. And they're winning. I think they're winning. They've got perks and features and guarantees that the banks can't provide. They can't match them. It's just a function of the insurance business. They can give you guarantees that the banks can't provide. I'm not going to get into it right now. We've talked about it before. Call us if you want more info. But I strongly suggested he at least look at the options that are available at the insurance company before he decides to buy this five-year ladder GIC. So that was my job. That's what I presented to them. Again, no charge consultation. They were very impressed because they didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. I get it. We're here shouting it from the rooftops every Sunday morning, AM 740, the Avoid Probate Show. Jason Lehler, Ted Walsh, and we do this weekly. Slightly change the topics up a little bit, but we're always trying to help people understand probate and avoid it as much as they can. So I gave this couple lots to think about. They were impressed with the information. They're going to think about it. Obviously, we don't expect people to make commitments on the spot. Some people do. Some people need time to think about it. I understand that. It is what it is. So
I think one of the things that people value most about our services as well, even if they're working with another advisor, is that a lot of these concepts haven't been introduced or explained to them thoroughly. So sometimes advisors just have a limited scope on what they specialize in. And I think people recognize that with the Avoid Probate team, that we have indeed built a team around them to provide them with the best estate planning resources that aren't just limited to, hey, I think you should money into this laddered five-year GIC because that's my opinion and that's where I feel comfortable. It's no, we have a panel of people that are specialists in their field and in their profession that we can coordinate with to get you the best advice, the best perspectives on this entire estate plan. And it's not just about investment. There's legal, there's accounting, there's the will planning. There's so much that we bring to the table.
And there's Ted Walshin on the team, of course. And speaking of Ted, who has a weekly podcast, now's a good time, Ted, to give us an update on your podcast this week, please.
Fascinating guest this week, Maestro Fresh Wes. He is the first, he will be come March, I think, when the Junos roll around, the first Canadian hip hop artist inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame.
Wow.
On top of that, he's also an author he's the author of several books. He's got a cooking show, which he goes by the name of Maestro Chef Wes. Fascinating guy.
Of course.
He's a fascinating guy, and has some great, great stories to share with us. So that's available by going to www.tedwalshin, which is WOLOSHYN.ca, or anywhere you find your favorite podcast.
I wonder if one of his menu items is the Let Your
Backbone sliders.
Backbone sliders.
Yeah, he that's what he does. He admits he doesn't cook burgers. He only does sliders.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, if the listeners don't understand the joke, they'll have to look up some of his music.
That's probably his biggest hit. In fact, that hit was the first Canadian hip hop single to be certified gold, I believe. There's a lot of history and a lot of fascinating stuff about this gentleman.
Pioneer Canadian music. Amazing.
Speaking of history, this show is history. We're done for another week of the Avoid Probate Show. We are out of time. It goes fast. Thank you for joining us. If it's your first week, please join us again. We'll be back next Sunday, right, Ted?
Indeed.
Jason Laidler, Ted Walshin, Colin Keyes joined us today. Thanks. Debbie Stanley joined us. Ian Robertson took care of us from behind the glass again. That's the second week in a row. He came back, Ted. We didn't scare him off last week.
I know. I'm quite shocked.
I'm shocked, too.
By the way, when we come back next Sunday, it'll be 1 month away from Boxing Day.
Wow. Is that supposed to be encouraging?
I don't know. It's shocking, encouraging, stimulating. I don't know. Maybe a combination of all.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it next week, maybe. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to an exclusive podcast of Avoid Probate with Jason Laidler. Heard every Sunday at 8 a.m. on Zoomer Radio. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.